Praise the Lord, dear listener. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. You are once again welcome to Pentecost Hour, a religious broadcast sponsored by the Church of Pentecost General Headquarters. In this edition of Pentecost Hour, kindly join Apostle Eric Nyamiche, the chairman of the Church of Pentecost, as he speaks to the topic, the Virgin Birth. The Virgin Birth.
From every nation, all of creation, babe, blessing and honor say, glory and power be unto. From every nation,
why was the virgin birth important? The first one was it true? The second part is, why was it important? Why was it important? Why is Christianity an exclusive religion? Jesus is not the founder of the Christian faith, like people say. He's the savior of the world. It's not just a religion. Jesus is the savior of the world. Why was it important? Number one, it's because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because of this, the human race needed a savior. Romans chapter 5 from verse 12. I'll read just the verse 12 for the sake of time. Romans 5. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and in this way, death came to all people because all sin. It says that just as sin entered the world, into which country did sin enter? Who knows where? He entered the world and lived in which country? He lived in Ghana or US. Where? Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, it is a bridge that death took advantage of and also walked into the world. In this way, death came to all people, all manner of people, black, white, colored, because all sinned. Now, this scripture is talking about the universal effect of sin. The earth is filled with different cultures, different races, different accents and tongues, different levels of education, different understanding and intelligence. But all have one thing in common. All have sinned. That is scripture. So S-I-N is like saying sin is in our nature. All of us have sinned. People are generally corrupt. In politics, in churches, in banking and finance, in the media, in entertainment, in sports. So sometimes you wonder, I used to fancy this American lady runner, 100 meters runner, very far. I loved her. I really admired the way she ran. But I was surprised that eventually, not knowing that she was cheating, everywhere man is corrupt. That is why the Bible says that you are the salt of the earth. Because God knows that the earth is corrupt. What is born of the flesh is flesh. Everywhere there is corruption. Sin is in our nature. So, there was no human being qualified to save a fellow human being. If sin is in my nature, and sin is in your nature, and sin is in your nature, who will save who? So we needed a savior from outside our race. But who understands us and fulfills the law to be able to save us? That is why Jesus said, I came from the Father and entered the world into a woman's womb. Entered the world into a woman's womb. Entered the world. See, his name Emmanuel simply means that God is with us. So God himself has come outside the human race to be with us, to come and save us. Because we are not qualified to save ourselves. Not at all. Sin was in our nature. All have sinned. I want to say this, but listen to it closely. Jesus Christ was born into this world from outside it. He did not emerge out of history. He came into history from outside. He is not man becoming God, but God becoming man. This is the mystery of godliness. God becoming man. The second reason why the virgin birth was important is this. That the Savior should be born of a woman. Not by a man and a woman. Because in Genesis 3, verse 15, this is what the scripture said. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike the heel. So from the beginning, God has said, it was going to be someone who is going to be born of a woman who was going to do the crushing of the devil's head. Galatians 4 verse 4 says that, but when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption of sonship. When the time came, God sent his son, born of a woman. Born of a woman. Why is this born of a woman important? Why didn't God just jump here himself? Why did he need that womb? It was important for many reasons. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 5. This one, I want us to read together. Hebrews 10 verse 1. Can we read together? Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. So when Christ was coming, before he came, God needed the blood of animals to pacify for sins. And then he said, when I was coming, you said you never desire blood from animals. So what you did was to prepare a body for me. Because Jesus is God and God is spirit. And so God prepared body for him. And for you to have a body, you need to be in a woman's womb. When a woman falls pregnant, and you are in there like a clot of blood, and the woman aborts, you don't form, you don't have a body, because you were not allowed to be in the womb. So what the womb does is to give you body. So he says that God gave me body, and that body can only be attained in a woman's womb. That was why I was there for 9 months. Why was this body necessary? You see, Paul says that Philippians 2, he took upon him a form of a servant. So God the Holy Spirit, or God Jesus Christ, the Son of God, took upon him the human flesh. Say, God gave him a body. Why was it necessary? Number three, I've said one, two. The third one is that the Messiah must suffer. The Messiah must suffer. When you read Isaiah 52 from verse 14 to the whole of chapter 53, it talks about the suffering of the Messiah. That was a prophecy. And whoever will qualify to be the Messiah should suffer. And God is spirit. And you can't say that the spirit is suffering. No. If the spirit will suffer, that was the reason why the spirit needed a body. He must suffer. Luke chapter 24, verse 7. Let's take Luke 24, 25, and 26. I'll read 25 and 26, but write the verse 7 down. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" So the Messiah was built to suffer. Why was it necessary that the Messiah should suffer? Hebrews chapter 2 from verse 11. Why was it necessary? Both the one who makes men holy. I want you to pay attention to this. Both the one who makes men holy, that is Jesus, and those who are made holy, that is those of us, are of the same family. Of the same family. Now, why is he saying we are of the same family? Or he said the same category, family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. Why is he saying that we are brothers when he is our creator? The next verse, verse 12. He says, "I will declare your name." Let's move to verse 14 for the sake of time. "Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil." So those of us that he is coming to save, we have flesh and blood. And it was important that he shared in our humanity. That is why he needed that body. So that going through the suffering of the human body, he will be able to save us. Let's jump to verse 17 and 18. "For this reason, he had to be made like his brothers in every way. He had to be made like us in every way with the human body. He ate, he slept, he was tired and all that because of the body he was wearing. In order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people." Verse 18. Let's take that one together. Ready, go. "Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being..." So the virgin birth was necessary for him to wear the body because he should suffer. So that today when I'm sick, my tummy, or when I'm going through trials, like Honorable was saying, he understands because he has been part of this world. The last one. Why it was necessary, the virgin birth. Because he had to shed blood for the remission of sins. He had to shed blood for the remission of sins. Hebrews 9:22. In fact, the law required that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness or remission of sins. This is law. So he cannot come and then save us. He must fulfill the law. He should fulfill the law. He must meet the requirement of the law. And the law required that everything for us to be pacified by God, for God to give us pardon, there must be the shedding of blood. So when he had the body, it was in the body that there was the blood. And on the cross, he bled and died. And that blood satisfied this law and qualified him to be the Messiah. And that gave us the space to accept him and then be delivered. Romans summarizes this way. Romans 3:25-26. God presented him as a sacrifice of what? Atonement. Through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice. Because in his forbearance, he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did this to demonstrate his justice. Because in his forbearance, he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He died. He shed the blood. to demonstrate his justice. Because God is not only love. So whilst the love of God is calling for the pardon of the human being who is a sinner, the righteousness and the holiness of God is buying man away from coming to God. So for justice sake, to satisfy he himself, so that nobody will have any excuse, he did this. And now here is he. He has finished. Everyone on the planet Earth, his sins has been pacified in his blood. So here is he, a sinner. I'm here, I'm also a sinner. But he has purchased our salvation for us to satisfy his justice. There is a need for a preacher to tell him that your sins have been paid for. And then whosoever believes, this pacification will not perish, but have everlasting life. So now it is whosoever. So if I preach to him, it is for him to believe. Somebody has said, Jesus, what must I do that I might work the works of God? Then he says, only one work. Believe him who sent you. Only one work. So when I tell him about Jesus, there's only one thing that he should do. Just to respond. Once he responds, he goes through the blood and he's saved. When he's not responding, he's on this side. 1 John 2 verse 2 says this. 1 John 2 verse 2. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only for ours, but also for the sins of the, how many worlds? The whole world. It is finished in his blood. Today, when you are not born again, you can't say that he has not done well. He has satisfied his justice. It is up to you to respond. As I end this message, you saw all that God had to go through. The implications for the earth is also real. When he comes back again, whosoever did not accept Jesus as Lord cannot enter into his kingdom. When he did this, God made a vow. This is the serious one. I want us to just look at that and I'll pray for you. 1 John chapter 5 from verse 9. We accept man's testimony. When you are giving a testimony in the law court, if you are a Christian, you lift a Bible. If you are a Muslim, you can lift a Quran or you do affirmation. That is a testimony. But God's testimony is greater because it is the testimony of God, which he has given about his son. So can you imagine? So if God has to give a testimony about his son, he is doing that under oath, because testimony that is accepted in court should be done under oath. What is the importance of the oath? According to Hebrews 6:16, oath settles the argument. So can you imagine God lifting his hands like this and testifying about the Son? Let's go to the next verse, 10. Anyone who believes in the Son has this testimony in his heart. And anyone who does not believe has made him out to be a liar, because he has not believed the testimony of God, the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony, verse 11. So let's take it, ready, go. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. 12.
He who has the Son has life.
He who has not the Son has not life. If I have to add, I'll add, there is no room for neutrality. Sometimes people think that every religion will lead us there. Don't joke with that one. It is especially with those of you in this class. After you have gone through logic, you have trained your mind how to think logically. You tell yourself, every religion leads us there. I try to go through all this for you to know that you can't compare anyone to him. This is what we believe. Unless you don't believe this one. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. And this was said by God on oath. Nothing will change. Nothing changes that. For God to become man and be mistreated, hanged on the tree, when he won the victory, God signed. Say, it is in him is life. Outside him, there is no life. But the church of today is quiet. Nobody is telling someone about Jesus. I'm praying that from today forward, we'll go out telling it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere, that Jesus is born. This is what he has said concerning his son. He who has a son has life. If your brother has not the son, he does not have life. If your husband does not have the son, he does not have life, no matter who he is. Because the oath settles all arguments. Brothers and sisters, it's not enough to be warming these benches or these chairs, as you say. It is not enough to just be part of this church. If you are here in this church and you still mingle with evil, then you have not understood the birth. And you have not understood the conclusion that I read. You may have to let go evil. There is a deception in the churches today that the issue is all about Satan, Satan in deliverance. That is the devil's plot. If you continue to do that, many occults or occultics will become priests in Ghana. Because Abeisem, any Abosomsem will come back. Today, there is a rise of idolatry. You see billboards all over because that is what is happening in churches. You see billboards, 31st night, pastors. We are making so much fuss about first. First is like sleeping and waking up. There's nothing about that after all. We are going to have to deal with the same old devil. And is it going to change? And we still have the Ancient of Days with us. What is about 2020 that you are afraid of? Go to churches on that day. You see folder water and anointing oil all over. If Jesus' blood is not enough for you, then what else do you need? What else do you need? Now listen, I want you to begin to think about righteousness and good Christian life in our church. That is the only thing to lift nations, not churches. Look at this compound. Look at the number of cars. Churches all over. But look at the nation that we have. Churches don't build nations. The Bible says righteousness will lift a nation, not churches. If churches did, Nigeria would have been number one and would have been second. Churches do not build nations. So what is going on? The problem is with the pulpit. What we preach to you. Tomorrow by this time you have a car. Tomorrow by this time you build a house. What will house do to you? Compare it with the suffering that you went through. So when people are stealing from the workplace, they don't even feel it because their pastor is saying that defines their blessing. My friend, forget. Not in this church anymore. Not in this church anymore. If it is about cars and buildings, why don't you go and trade in cocaine? That one will give you quick money. Here, die that we might live so that we will tell others. Let us lift up our hands and begin to pray that righteousness will reign in the church and that God should cause 2020 to be another year of righteousness, that the glory of God will be seen in his church. Let's pray this prayer in the name of Jesus. And as you are praying, if you are sick, he will touch you wherever it's aching. And God will bring deliverance to you. Any force of darkness, we bind that this morning in the name of Jesus. Kabo satende, biriando, bosende, biriando, basande, bikatande. So tokubali barianda da 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 babiria. Bo la be katanda, rebasondo, bikitanda. Robo sekatande miriando. When you go home and you take off your jacket, enter into the presence of God. Find some space for yourself. And then pray into 2020. Let nobody frighten with 2020. God is out there waiting for us to bless us. He's not going to curse us. Enter into 2020 boldly. Know that God is with you. Let's close your eyes and let me pray with you. I know that Jesus is my Savior. I know Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I command every foul spirit of sickness in this house, every move of the enemy against your life, I bind that in the name of Jesus. And I want to pray that God will open your eyes, that you see him more clearly, that you'll be able to love him more dearly and follow him this time closer than ever. That righteousness will flow from your belly as light and salt to bring life to the nations. That because of you, people will come to the saving knowledge of Christ. May the Lord open your eyes to know him better and to serve him well. May he open door and great doors for you in 2020. And may you be the one that he will love. May he shower his blessing upon you, that you will enjoy him as long as you live. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, that has been so wonderful and so inspiring and impactful. Word of God spoken by Apostle Eric Nyameche, the chairman of the Church of Pentecost. A barren Elizabeth, because of Christ, the birth of Christ, she conceived, and the baby in the womb leaped for joy. What a wonderful child. The commonality of the name Jesus given to sons in the Jewish world was to remind them of a coming Savior. So there were many Jesuses at the time. But the Jesus Christ of Nazareth, it's a wonderful true story. Jesus never referred to Joseph as the father, nor Mary as the mother. Jesus is not the founder of Christianity. He is the Savior of the world. On this note, beloved, I would like Jesus Christ to be your Savior too. If you have believed our message, kindly say these words and this decisive prayer with me. Dear Lord God, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He came to die on the cross for my salvation. He resurrected from the dead on the third day for my justification. I therefore accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. So help me God. Hallelujah. Precious one, if you have no place where you worship, I recommend to you the Church of Pentecost closer to you. In fact, there are about 16,000 local congregations scattered across the country here in Ghana. Kindly locate one, join them, and consolidate your newly found faith. Study the Word of God and fellowship with them. May the Lord bless and keep you. You can reach us on WhatsApp or call 020-173-1136. I repeat, 020-173-1136. May the Lord bless you and keep you. In Jesus' name, bye-bye.
Sing unto your kingdom, your kingdom. Soul, the fire is burning in my soul, the flame of